Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. And today we're joined by a singer-songwriter who's in the country music genre. We'd like to welcome to the Voice of America, Trey Calloway, who has a new album out right now. Welcome, Trey.
Thank you for having me, Larry. It's an honor.
It's an honor and a pleasure to talk to you. First, let's start off with the important stuff. You're getting married in October.
Yes, I am. October 12th.
October 12th. So maybe by the time this airs, you will have already celebrated your honeymoon. Who knows?
Yes, sir. We're really excited. She's better than I deserve, man. Everybody tells me I outkick my coverage, but I'm okay with it. She's a good woman. Yes,
so
sir.
Have you made the honeymoon plans because you're a month out?
We have. We're actually going to St. Lucia.
Oh, nice.
Fanciest vacation I've ever been on, but it's going to be fun.
Do you consider yourself to be a romantic guy?
Yeah, probably. I guess maybe because the artist thing, you know, wear my emotions on my sleeve. So I would say I'm a little bit of a romantic. She's definitely a big, big romantic. So she's helped me become a better person.
And your proposal was kind of special, or was it just basic? Knee in the living room and.
It was. No, it was a special thing. So her family is originally from Ohio. My family is all from North Carolina. And we were in Myrtle Beach at the time, playing at a winery called Duplin Winery down there. And I had the plan. I was going to propose to her. And all of her family drove in from Ohio. And there's her family is a big family. They're a big Irish family. So there's like
lots of
60
drinking.
Of them. There's like 60 of them, man. So, my whole family showed up. Her whole family showed up. And we kind of played it because they do this family vacation every year where they all come down to the beach. So it was a good cover for me. And about halfway through the show, I called her up there and, you know, just to brag on her. And that's where I popped the question.
Wow.
You know, luckily, she said yes. And
yeah, that would be a killjoy if she said, I'll have to think about it.
Well, I knew she was going to say yes. We had gone to another vacation about a month before that, and I think she was expecting me to do it there, and I didn't, man, and that was a long plane ride home. She was very quiet, but I made it right.
You made it up to her with a whole audience of strangers.
Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations on you know your upcoming nuptials or your previous nuptials, because like I said, you're getting married the beginning of October. I don't know exactly when this will air in October. Now, you're a Texas Country Music Association Award winner.
Yes, sir.
Now that's a big honor.
Thank you very much. It was Country Song of the Year for a song called One Tough Job that I wrote about my dad. And it was that was a solo, right, which was really, really cool. A song I'd written by myself. And we entered it in, and we didn't really have any expectation that the song was going to do anything. It was my first year being involved with the TCMAs. And luckily, we won, and I got to play at Billy Bob's. They had their award show at the famous Billy Bob's in Texas, and so I got to play on that stage. It was really cool.
Very, I got to cool. ask you, as somebody in country music, and you're a country Texas CMA winner, I got to ask you, because it's newsworthy, about Beyonce not getting any nominations at all for the CMA, her album Cowboy Carter. And some people, Dolly Parton said, I understand why they didn't nominate you. Yeah. And other people have come out and spoken about it. What are your thoughts, if you have
well,
any?
Well, personally, oh, I absolutely do. Personally, I liked Beyonce's country album. I thought it was really good. I think country music kind of wants you to be like invested in the genre of country music. So I think Beyonce definitely deserves to be nominated. I would like to see her stick around and keep making country music. I think that would go a long way with the CMA probably, because there's a lot of red tape you got to cut through. And, but you know, like that Texas Hold'em song, I was taken up for it. I was like, that song's catchy, guys. I mean, we're in the business of making hits.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And Beyonce's really good at making hit songs. So,
yes. And she helped to Shaboozy is on her album with, you know,
that
song with her.
Now, that song had to grow on me. We didn't like it at first. I didn't like it all that much at first, but I'm riding in my car, especially with my 10-year-old son. I'm riding in the car with my son, and he's like, oh, turn this song up, Dad. And so I started listening to it more and more, And I was like, you know, this song's not all that bad. And then afterwards, I was like, yeah, I kind of like it, actually. It grew on it, that Shaboozey song did grow on me.
Well, that's good. Now, your 10-year-old, does he have any inclination to music?
Oh, yes. Oh, very much so. So he asked for a keytar for his birthday. So I guess he's going to be in an 80s hair metal cover band or something. But
Okay.
he wants a keytar. He wants to learn to play the guitar. He's very, very musical. He sings really, really well, as well as my baby sister. I have a 9-year-old baby sister, and
Wow.
she's very musical as well. So yeah, his name is Cash. And we were riding the car one day. We get to spend a lot of time. We just listen to music. I try to expose him to all kinds of music. You know, heavy metal, country, hip hop, R&B, Motown, funk, all kinds of stuff. And so he likes all music. And he sang me this song. He said, "Daddy, I wrote this song." I mean, now granted, he's 9 years old. You know, he's about to turn 10.
Wow.
And I said, "Okay, well, let's hear it." You know, sometimes your first songs are kind of rough.
Sure, not
And
much experience to draw on.
well, he sang it for me. And I was like, "You didn't write that." I thought he was telling me a story. And I was like, "You didn't write that." And he said, "Yeah, I did." And I made him sing it to me about three or four times, and it was really good. So who's to say what the future holds? I've always kind of subscribed to the notion that I wasn't going to try to force it on.
Right.
I want him to find music, not because it's what his daddy does for a living. I want him to find music organically and fall in love with it like I did.
But why don't you record a song with him? He likes
Well,
to play the guitar, you like to sing, so.
that's cool that you mentioned that, actually. That's a possibility. The first time I remember really being like, okay, he's musical, is I was doing a show and he was in the crowd and he said, "Daddy, I want to sing with you, but I want to sing one of your songs." And I have a song that I wrote with Justin Bilton, and he's the bass player of the band Three Doors Down. But he's also a country artist and a really good one as well. And we wrote a song called "Working Thing," which is like a working man song. And Cash got up with me on stage and grabbed the microphone out of my hand and he said, "You just play it and I'll sing it." And he sang it word for word without any lyrics in front of him.
Wow.
He knew it everywhere and on pitch. And man, that crowd went nuts. I was like, "All right, kid, get off the stage. You're stealing
So
my thunder."
you got something there.
He's very musical. I'm
Tap into
proud.
that. Don't, you know,
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
Willie Nelson's recorded with his sons, and a lot of artists have had their kids on their music, so it's kind
It's
of
a good idea.
endearing to the parents who are your fans.
It's a good idea, Larry.
Yeah, we're
It's a
talking to
good
Trey
idea.
Calloway, who is a rising country music superstar. Who has already achieved award-winning status, played at the House of Blues and Tennessee State Fair, and you've done the Opry at the Tennessee State Fair. So what's the Opry at the Tennessee, because I know the Opry's in Nashville. So what's the Opry at the Tennessee State Fair?
So it's called the Opry Stage, and it's at the Tennessee State Fair. And they have, there's a fella named Tim Atwood, who is a piano player and singer. And he was the house piano player at the Grand Ole Opry, for about 4 decades. And always, you know, had the ability to be a solo artist and wanted to, but he kind of got swept up, I guess, in doing what he was doing. And so he does his own shows, but he's got his band there, and he invites artists to come in during the fair and do a set. And it'll be like there'll be like five or six artists per night, and the band will do every artist set for him. And Tim's really great. Tim's son Tristan is actually my regular drummer, so he's kind of they're all kind of country music royalty. It's good to know those guys.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff.
Yes, sir.
Enough of me jibber jabbering. I'm gonna get
I'll
some
jibber
music
jabber
in.
with you all day, buddy.
No,
I'll jibber
me
jabber.
too. But I want to hear
All
some music. I want to hear
right, cool.
your chops. So,
All right,
what
cool.
are you gonna do for us first, Trey Calloway?
I reckon let's do Miss Gone By Morning. We should go in order of the singles that were released. Let's do Miss Gone By Morning first.
Here's Miss Gone By Morning. It's Trey Calloway on Border Crossings.
I see you making nice in that sweet little honey. Mind full of wishes and a pocket full of money. Thinking white picket fence, oh 9 yards. Oh, you get yourself down a road that far. Let me tell you where you are. Man, you're working on your next broken heart. She's a miss, she's a miss, she's been gone by morning.
That's Miss Gone by Morning, and it's Trey Calloway who joins us here on Border Crossings today. And so what's the story behind that song?
So Miss Gone by Morning came about, I was playing downtown one night in Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, the ladies, if you've ever been to Nashville, you know that it's famous for a few things, country music and bachelorette parties. And so these women walk into the club we're playing. It was AJ's Good Time Bar, Alan Jackson's place. And, you know, set a sash that said bride-to-be or birthday girl or what have you. This one particular woman's sash said Miss Gone by Morning, like M-I-S-S, like a missus, Miss Gone by Morning. And I said, well, that's a country song if I've ever heard one right there. And so I wrote it down in my book, and I took it to my buddies Greg and Hal, and we wrote this song about this woman who, you know, there's a lot of songs about the guy being the heartbreaker, the guy being the one who's can't be held down, you know, cowboy rides away sort of thing. And I was like, man, women need a song about being the heartbreaker. So we wrote a song about this woman who no man can tie down, no man can hold down. She's Miss Gone by Morning. And it turned out pretty good. And I knew I wanted it to be that barn burner, rock and roll 90s country thing that I love. And me and Greg and Hal wrote it up, and it turned out good. Mm-hmm. Really, really well. I'm proud of that one. That's one I had to fight for that song because a lot of my team was like, I don't know. I don't hear it. I was like, trust me. Hmm. And then we did it, and it turned out really good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Trey Calloway, the name of the album is Wanted Man. It's currently out and available wherever you can get music these days, iTunes, Amazon, you name it. It's there. And we've got Trey Calloway with us, who's the writer. You wrote all the songs yourself?
Yes, sir. I either co-wrote or wrote all of the songs on the album. And mm-hmm. I never set out to be a songwriter. I've always said there's a lot of better writers out there than me, but nobody will write songs for me yet. So I'm just having to do all the work.
Well, I'm going to ask you, if somebody came to you and said, you know, Trey, I'm sorry, you got to pick songwriting or singing. It sounds like you would lean towards singing and not the songwriting.
Yes, I've always been more of a performer. I love writing songs, but writing songs for me can be kind of painful. It's therapeutic sometimes, you know, so that's tough. And especially when you're doing it 4 or 5 times a week, which mm-hmm. is the kind of grind you have to do out here. You have to write like that. So I feel at home and I come alive when I go on stage. You know, that's the piece of me that I can show the world that I'm not ashamed of anything. I'm not afraid of anything. Everything, the world is right. So I would lean more towards the artist part. And, but I'll keep writing songs as long as people seem to respond well to them. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, Larry. Continue. No, please go ahead.
I was going to say, what's the most unusual place that you've ever written or got inspiration for a song?
Well, I tend to write songs on airplanes, which is weird. I don't know why. Something about the low pressure, I guess, messes with my brain.
Has nothing to do with the drinks, right?
Yeah, no. But I have some of my best inspiration when I'm like this in the middle aisle of an airplane. Hmm. But yeah, I've written several of my favorite hooks on planes. One time I wrote a song. I write songs in the car a lot, and usually that'll be more along the lines of I'll be writing the chorus in my head, and I'll sing it into my phone. I'm trying to think if there's a funny place I've ever written a song. I don't know.
No bathroom, no wake up and get a dream, you know.
Oh, that happens all. Oh yeah, absolutely. So I mean, I've had several songs come to me in a dream, so to speak, where you wake up and you're just like, I have to write this down or I'm going to lose it. You know, it tends to be more along the lines of right before I fall asleep. When I first lay down, and it'll keep me up all night sometimes. Cause I think one time about a month ago, I had probably 7 or 8 hook ideas back to back in one night.
Wow.
And so I didn't end up getting any sleep that night.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, for one night you can knock out 7 songs. That's,
right.
That's yes, sir. pretty amazing stuff. Wanted Man is the name of the new album. How many albums have you had out?
So this is my second full length album. I did my first album was called Carolina Man. And man, I was a kid when I put that album out. I was just a baby. This album is the first album that I've really had a big hand in co-producing and having a lot to do with the sound of it and, you know, all of the songs. The first album was kind of like, okay, kid, you sit in the corner until we tell you to sing. We got the music part and you just sing when we say sing. And that was a great learning experience. I got to work with some really talented people on that album. But this album has a lot more of my soul in it, I would say, you know?
Yes, yes. And that's great that you're very honest and open about
where
you were and how they treated you. Because I often wonder, you know, an artist who works with a big label gets producers, and the producers can come in and they want to change your song around. They don't like, you know, supposed to be a ballad, but they make it an up tempo or vice versa. So, you know, the fact that you were working with, you know, your producer in the first album, and they just were kind of not sure that they wanted to let you have free reins, but sounds like it all worked out for you. And so what's the difference between you then and you now? What have you learned that's different?
So I would say that I'm a lot more. When I did that first album, I was still living in Myrtle Beach and I was still pretty rowdy and partying and hanging out and doing wild country singer stuff, you know. I would say I'm more focused in my career now. My career and my family are the two most important things to me in the world. And so this album is more polished and more refined, I would say. A lot of the songs on the Carolina Man album are very long, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I hadn't quite learned how do we say what we want to say and do it in 2 minutes and 45 seconds instead of almost 5 minutes.
Right. Right.
And it's little things like that, that make an album really flow well and really work cohesively. And so I think I finally figured out how to do that, how to make a good country album. So I'm looking forward to making the next one, too. Mm-hmm. We're jumping right back into it.
The last songwriter I spoke to said that they write the ending of the song first.
That's pretty cool. And I've heard people talk about doing that with me. I don't think I'm a good enough songwriter to do that yet. I always start with like a catchy line. Say you and me are having a conversation and you say something in passing that sounds like a song, I'll be like, man, that's good. I got to write that down. So I'll write it down and then I'll come back to it. And usually I'll try to take that line or that hook and write a chorus first. And I'll have that chorus written and then I'll try to write verses around that. Some people just write top to bottom, just the first verse into the chorus. And then some people write the ending of the song first, but that's a challenge, man. It's easier said than done.
I've got a song idea for you. I've got a song idea.
Well, let's hear it. Are we allowed to say it on air?
Yeah. Border Crossings.
Border Crossings.
What a
it.
Great name for a song.
Right? I love
Border
it.
Crossings. You
right
could talk
now.
About, you know, many different subject matter in that. But, yeah, we've got Trey Calloway, who's chatting with us today, and the winner of a Texas Country Music Association Award. And you've been written up in all these great publications that all love your stuff, and you've gotten positive reviews, and the new album is out, Wanted Man. What are you going to sing for us next?
Let's do Backroad Believer. I think that's a good one. Can I tell a little bit about Backroad Believer?
Please do.
I would be honored to be able to talk about this one a little bit. Sure. So I have to admit And I love that I was proven wrong. When I wrote this song, there are two what I would call gospel songs on the album. This one and a song called Horses in Heaven. And so when we wrote this song, my manager absolutely loved it. But I was like, I don't know if we should cut it, because I don't know if a song about the Lord and a song about faith is going to appeal in modern country music nowadays. And I'm very proud to say that I was wrong, because we put it out and it was my fastest song ever to hit 100,000 streams. It hit 100,000 streams in a couple of days, a few days. And I was like, well, that's proof that God is good right there. And I'm glad that he proved me wrong, because I'm the first one to admit when I'm wrong. I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. I was wrong about this one, and I'm really proud of it. It turned out really good.
All right, it's Back Road Believer here on Border Crossings.
I grew up sitting on the front row pew, shirt and my tie and my Sunday shoes. Same glass color scattered across the hardwood floor. Yeah, my hand on the Bible, my eyes on the tie, till our last amen and a handshake of line. My black top church was a waiting outside the door. Thank you.
That's Trey Calloway, Back Road Believer, which is a new song or recent song on the album Wanted Man. We've got Trey with us today. And what I want to find out from you, so you mentioned earlier in the interview that you were doing your, you said, wild country music thing that a country music singer does. Now, you're a preacher's son, so you can't get too wild.
Yes, sir. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. My dad was an evangelist when I was growing up. And for those folks out there that might not know, an evangelist is a pastor that doesn't have his own church. He's a traveling preacher. And that's what actually got me into singing, was going to the different revivals that he would preach. He would preach, you know, 4 or 5 night revivals at different churches. And I would sing before he would preach a sermon. And that got me really caught the music bug at an early age doing that. About 6 years old, I started singing in front of people. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I grew up very, very religious and very strict. And I guess when I turned 16, I went a little crazy, went a little wild, and had my, sowed my wild oats and all that stuff. But that is the big difference. And I never got into too much trouble. Just enough. Wink, wink, wink. You know what I mean? Just enough trouble.
Sure, sure.
That I'm still standing, and I've got some good stories to tell. Mm.
Well, here's
that sounds like a song right there.
Yeah, it does. Story to tell. There's another song title.
That's good. That could be a good one.
So, you know, you mentioned something that brings up, you know, a couple of different angles for me. I was just, you know, wondering, when you write your songs, where do you get your inspiration? Is it your life that you've lived? Is it what you've observed around you?
Well, I would say it's a combination of both. I love a song that has to do with personal, something I experienced personally. But for me, something that I think a lot of modern country has maybe lost, and I hope, you know, I can have some contribution into bringing that back, is the story song. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, the Big Irons and the Poncho and Lefties, the songs that just are, the singer is just the narrator, mm-hmm, telling mm-hmm. a story. I love that kind of stuff. We've actually got a song that I recorded recently that's different than anything I've ever done. I would call it a cowboy, like a murder ballad, like a Big Iron or an El Paso kind of song. And it's a combination of both. You know, I always try to not limit myself to anything. Mm-hmm. You know, an album can have something poppy on it, and it can have something that's country as turnip greens on it.
You know, Has it always been country music for you?
Well, I grew up singing gospel music, but when I heard it was a country music greatest hits album that my mom and dad bought me, and it had like Waylon Jennings and Loretta Lynn and Willie Nelson. Of course, we were talking about Willie. But I fell in love with country pretty early after hearing it. Mm-hmm. And tried to be like all my heroes. I was trying to be George Strait and trying to be Garth Brooks and Alan Jackson. And then it was Jason Aldean. I was into Jason Aldean for a long time. Still am. But no, country music just kind of captured my heart. But I love all music, like I was telling you, you know, heavy metal and rock, hard rock and all that good stuff. I mean, my workout playlist has got everything from Slipknot to Creed and Avenged Sevenfold on it. And then there's, you know, a Zach Top song on it. So
Is there any possibility you'd ever want to do something a little different than country, that you'd want to record an album of, you know, maybe collaborate with somebody or whatever?
It would be cool. It would be cool to do. It would be a hard transition for me to do some kind of heavy metal album, but I think it would be cool. I've always wanted to do, I grew up in Pentecostal church, and a big thing there is like the gospel quartets, like a four guys, mm-hmm. One guy sings real low and one guy sings real high. And I've always wanted to maybe do something like that. Take a lot of the Redback hymnal songs that I grew up listening to and recut them. I, before I die, I'm going to do a bluegrass gospel quartet album.
All right, you can work with Kentucky Thunder and get Ricky Skaggs involved. Yeah,
that sounds good.
Trey Calloway's here on Border Crossings, and so you won a Songwriter of the Year award, but Christian Music Songwriter of the Year. Mm-hmm. Do you call yourself or consider yourself to be a Christian music singer songwriter, or you just happen to be Christian, but you know you are a singer songwriter?
Well, that's a great question. I don't consider myself a strictly Christian artist. You know, I consider myself a country music artist. But I love the fact that my album has everything from Miss Gone My Morning on it to a song like Horses in Heaven. And I wear the mantle proudly. You know, I want my albums to be experiences that people feel all kinds of emotions when they listen to them. So, like I said, I represent it well, but no, I consider myself a full country artist, just a country artist.
Have you done any collaborations yet?
You know, I'm trying to think. Well, besides the one that Justin Bilton and I, the fellow that I was talking about to you a little bit, we wrote that song Working Thing. We actually cut it as a duet. We did it like two guys singing the song about how much we hated working. The song is inspired from my fiance. We were talking, and she was saying, you know, I need you to hurry up and get rich so I can quit this working thing. I hate this working thing. And I was like, wow, you said I hate this working thing, man. That's a title. And so I wrote that whole chorus just sitting there on the phone with her, wrote a whole thing down, took it to Justin. We wrote that song, and we knew we both kind of wanted to cut it. It fits both of us as artists. And I said, well, let's just kill two birds with one stone, and let's do it as a duet. And so we did it, and it turned out really good. So that's the only collaboration I've done. We've talked about with my producer, we've talked about seeing if we can't hammer down somebody, maybe like a big legacy 90s country artist would be really cool to do a song with. We've thought about a couple, maybe Clint Black would be really cool to do something with. Or Shenandoah's been doing all of those crossovers with Luke Combs and Luke Bryan and Jason Aldean. They just did Sunday in the South, but man, it's cool. I was talking to my manager about it. I wish Joe Diffie was still around.
Right.
It'd be really
right.
cool to do him with Joe Diffie. I got to open up for him a couple of years before he passed away. And man, he was still just rocking, dude. He came out, and it was we did our opening slot, and the crowd was packed. It was this tiny little club in Darlington, South Carolina. For the love of me, I can't remember the name of that club, but it was a really good night. And Joe Diffie came out, man, and he crushed it.
You know, it's a good thing that it was your wife who said, "I want to quit working," and it wasn't you telling her, "Hey, hon, I want to quit working."
Well, you know, she's I'm so proud of her. Her and I are polar opposites in so many ways. She's a civil engineer. She went to Ohio State University. She worked her butt off, and she's just a hard worker. You know, she's when you think about somebody in America who works hard to get where they are, she's the prime example of that. And I'm in a completely different industry where you still have to work hard, but it's just a different hours and different way to get there. And, you know, sometimes I envy the structure that she has, you know, the getting up and she goes to work and she knows I never stop working. I never clock out. My hours never stop.
Right.
So two different kinds of things. But yeah, if I quit working, man, I don't know what I'd do with myself. I'm 100% addicted to the music business. It's the only thing I want to do ever.
Well, I want to go back to the collaboration question I asked. So I typically ask artists, if you could name three artists you'd like to collaborate with on your wish list, whether they're dead or alive.
Dead or alive. Okay. I was
dead
gonna
or
ask.
Alive,
okay.
You know, three. Your top three.
Definitely Johnny Cash. I wish I could go back in time and do a song with Johnny Cash. Man, that'd be something else. That'd be something else. He'd be a whole foot and a half taller than me, but it'd be all right. more like 6 inches. I think he'd be about 6 inches taller than me. But Johnny Cash, definitely Garth Brooks. I would. He's still around, so I'd love to sing a song with Garth Brooks. I think we'd do something really cool. And then, man, the third one's hard. Does it have to be? It doesn't have to be a country artist, I suppose.
No, it can be anybody you want to collaborate with.
I'm going to say Marvin Gaye.
Oh, wow.
I'm
going
to say Marvin Gaye. I'd like to get a little bit soulful and do like a soulful duet with Marvin Gaye. That'd be really cool.
Soul and country. That would be interesting.
I'm a big Motown guy, too. I mean, we've been known in our middle of our show to break out into just a Motown song. And I lived in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for a long time. And there's a genre of music down there called beach music, Carolina beach music, which is basically just Motown with a different label on it, you know, with a different label slapped on it. And so that really sunk into me, that beach music and that R&B and that Motown really sunk into me too. So it'd be cool to do a Motown record one of these days, or an R&B record. It'd be pretty sick.
Well, there you go. See, that was an earlier question. Want to do something different. So now we got the answer. Trey Calloway is with us. We got time for one more song. What are you going to do for the last one?
So this was the last single on the album. This song is called That Was Us. This is actually the only song on the album that is completely a solo write. I wrote this one all by myself a long time ago, and I never thought this song would get cut. But my manager loved it. She really fought for it. And we put it on the album, and people are really liking it. And this song is about growing up in my hometown, and just, you know, when you're that age, you feel invincible. You know, I think we can all remember that, what it's like to feel that invincibility before life comes along and gut punches you a couple times like it does. The song captures, and I think part of the reason why it does it so well is because I was that kid when I wrote that song. I still felt invincible. So I'm really proud of this one. This is one of my favorites, and this was a sleeper, man. It was one that the more I listened to the record that we'd made of it, the more I was like, man, this one really did turn out good, and people are responding well to it.
And what's the name of the song?
It's called That Was Us.
That Was Us. Here's Trey Calloway. You're listening to Border Crossings and watching VOA TV. Crossing, Stray Calloway. And that's, you said, the last song on the album?
Yes, sir.
All right. So people got to wait for it when they listen to the album. Do you, are you, yes, a person who listens to an album from the first song to the last, or do you skip the needle around and find your favorites, or?
It depends. I make Spotify playlists, workouts, and so I've got a workout playlist when I go hiking. I've kind of recently become addicted to hiking, like mountain hiking, and it's probably my favorite. Besides fishing, hiking might be my favorite new hobby. Just going out in the middle of the woods and just, you know, miles and miles and miles I'll walk. And so I'll put my headphones in and I will listen to a whole album all the way through sometimes. If I want to get acquainted with a new artist, I'll pull up some random artist I've never really listened to before and just play their best work. Whatever's considered to be their best work, I'll listen to that whole album. So I do actually listen to, have you ever heard the Ballad of Dude and Juanita album from Sturgill Simpson?
Nope.
Highly recommend that you listen to that album. All sometime right. When you're doing something like a nature walk, when you're hiking or something like that. Mm. It's a concept album about a fella during the Wild West days whose wife gets kidnapped by a bandit. And the story of the album is him going to rescue her.
Oh, wow.
And it's a master. Yeah, I dare say it's a masterpiece.
Mm. Well, I will check that out for sure.
Very cool.
And so thank you so much for being with us. Before we let you go, I want to ask, how do people find you on the internet or on the social media sites?
So my website is called www.treycallowaymusic.com. The social media platform I would say I'm most active on is Instagram, but I also have TikTok and Facebook and all that good stuff. Please, please, please follow me on Spotify. Spotify is the number one way that you can support an artist nowadays by going and downloading our songs and streaming them and sharing them with your friends. Spotify is the most important piece of the puzzle. But if you really want to get in touch with me, Instagram is probably the best way to do it.
And what's the Instagram handle?
Trey Calloway Music. I'm Trey Calloway Music on every social media
every platform. Okay, great, yes, great, great. Trey Calloway is with us here on Border Crossings. And before I let you go, I also want to give you a chance to send a shout out to the international global audience in 100 countries around the world, which includes the U.S. military.
Very cool. Absolutely. Okay, so I want to say to all of the active and retired military out there, thank you for your service. God bless you. My father-in-law is a 15-year Marine Corps veteran, as well as a 10-year Army veteran. And what you guys do, and ladies, is the most difficult job in the world. And I love every last one of you. And if I ever have the ability and the resources to come and do a tour wherever you guys are, I'll be there with bells on.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much.
And God bless you. And God bless you guys.
Yeah, God bless the troops. Thank you so much, Trey Calloway, for being on the show. Wanted Man is the name of the new album. It's now available. And you are watching Border Crossings. This is VOA TV.